As promised, this is going to be the final fifth chabura, and also it's going to be the first chabura pertaining to the different hanhagas and the conduct that we're supposed to have when we approach our learning. The midas that we're supposed to use and implement when we have our seder, the hasmada, the shkeda, the amelas, and we're also going to gear this towards Shavuos, since we're right around the corner, a few days away from Shavuos, and we're going to hopefully come out with some kind of a vote that we can do on Shavuos as well. Perhaps one of the most preliminary prerequisites and elementary kinyanim, ways in which a person can acquire learning and be mitzliach in learning, is, in my opinion, the midah of bikush. The koach habikush, the desire to want to learn, and the desire, the thirst for learning. If you want it, you'll get it. That's the first midah, the midah of you gotta want it. And the makor of this midah, the midah sabikush, is actually found in right after Chayta Egal in Parshas Kisisa, where after Chayta Egal, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael that he no longer can dwell amongst Klal Yisrael, and he's going to distance himself from the Machaneh. And so too, Moshe Rabbeinu, like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, distances his Ohel from the Machaneh, and he distances it 12 parsels away from the Machaneh. And Zot the Torah, in Lam Gimel Zayin, V'haya kol mevakesh Hashem, yetze el Ohel Moed. Whoever wants to search and be mevakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whoever wants to go learn by Moshe Rabbeinu, he should leave the Machaneh and go to that Ohel Moed. And says the Gemara in Brachon Samach Gimel Mabez, Rabbi Yehuda was poseach b'chvod HaTorah, and he praised everyone and said as follows, Madach, if we see by Parshas Kisisa that someone who left the Machaneh to go seek Moshe Rabbeinu, he was labeled by the Torah as a Mevakesh Hashem, because he went to go Mevakesh learning. Alachas kama v'kama, says the Gemara in Brachos, a Talmid Chacham who's metaltel himself from ear to ear, Medina to Medina, he goes and he puts effort and he travels to go learn Torah, he's also labeled a Mevakesh. This, says Rabbi Yehuda, is the praiseworthiness of this Midah, the Midah of Bikush. But it's not just a praiseworthy Midah. Zakhtar Rabbi Rucham, Mashkiach from Mir, that if you look by Parshas Toldos, where the Torah signifies and describes the exact mahus of Esav HaRasha and Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, Zakhtar the Torah, is an Ishtam Yoshev Olim. Every single Ava Kadosh had his own specific Midah. Yaakov Avinu, as we know, was the Amud HaTorah. And when the Torah is Madgish and stresses, what Midah personifies Yaakov Avinu, the Ishtam, the Amud HaTorah, the Torah does not stress the Hasmada. The Torah does not stress the brilliance, the Geonis, the Amelis, the Shkeda. No. Sok Yonatan ben Uziel, on this Pasuk, did Avad Tava Ulfon. He was a Yoshev Ohalim and he was a Tava Ulfon. What is Tava Ulfon? If you look at the Unkelus above, on that same Pasuk of Mevakesh Hashem, did Tava Ulfon. That is exactly what was the Koach HaMidah that Yaakov Avinu had. The Torah stresses that the Hatzlacha and the Amud HaTorah that Yaakov Avinu represents all stemmed and was sourced and traced back to this Midah of Bikush. He was a Mevakesh. That's what the Torah stresses as the Amud HaTorah of Yaakov Avinu. So first of all, the Midah of Bikush is praiseworthy. Second of all, it's a source of Hatzlacha. But thirdly, Zakh the Medrash Tanchuma in Mar Malkum 4, the fact that the Torah says, Vayakum Mevakesh Hashem Yetze, the Lashon is Bitzivoy. It's an imperative. It's a command. It's not optional. In order to be Matzliach, says the Medrash, Mikan Shetzarech Adam L'taltel Atzmo Leilech L'ilmod. A person has to express his Bikush in learning. He has to. It's an imperative. And if you think about it, there are really two formats to this Midah of Bikush. There is what we've said so far, which is the Midah of what I call the Mevakesh B'maisav. A person demonstrates through his actions that he wants to learn. A person runs to a shir so not to catch the first five minutes. A person schleps his svarim on when he goes away for Shabbos because he wants to learn dafka from his sefer. He adds a few extra pounds to his suitcase because he dafka wants to learn from that sefer. All of these actions are demonstrating his koach habikush. Zakt, the Gemara Nidon Daf Ayin, which many of you have heard many times, but there's another type of bikush. There's a bikush b'maisav, but there's also what we classically refer to as a bikush b'peh, bikush b'tfila. Says the Gemara Nida, one of the most frequently asked questions of every Ben Torah, right after he comes out of his Eretz Yisrael for a year in Eretz Yisrael, he wants to learn, but he doesn't want to become a Talmid Chacham overnight. So the Gemara Nida actually asks the question that we all ask ourselves right when we come off that plane on LL. What do you do to become a Talmid Chacham? Overnight, how do I do it? I want to become a Talmid Chacham, says the Gemara. Ma ya'asa adam v'chacham? How does a person gain Chachmas HaTorah? Suck the Gemara, Amar Lahem, Yar Bevi Yeshiva. Of course, he has to learn. He has to dedicate a few years. He can't just assume 1 year of inspiration. He's a Talmud Chacham overnight. He has to Mar Bevi Yeshiva, V'yimayik V'schora. Suck the Gemara, that's not true though. Harbe Asu Kain. V'lo Ho Lahem. Didn't work. A lot of people do this. It doesn't work. They're there for 3-4 years, and they're not yet Talmid Chachamim. So what do we do? Says the Gemara, Bikush B'maisa is not enough. Ella yivakshu rachamim misha chachma shalo. A person has to be mivakish rachamim. He has to ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He has to mivakish bepeh. He has to do a bikush bepeh. He has to thirst for it and ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Hashem mitin chachma. He, Hashem, is the source of all our chachma. And Zak Rav Chia, mashal, to a king who wants to make a beautiful seuda, and he gives it to his avadim. But when it comes to his children, when it comes to his son, he hands them the actual food. He hands them the sushi to their plates. He doesn't just put it on a silver platter. If you were my children, I would actually give you the sushi. That is a mashal amelech. That, so too by limud Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when you're mevakish, rachamim from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he hand gives you that limud Torah. Says Gemara, my kamash malan, now that you're telling me that it's tali and tefillah, says the Gemara, the maskana is haba halo saga. You need both. You need both formats. You need the mevakesh b'maisav, and you need the mevakesh b'tfila. Just as an aside, they say two beautiful maisim about the Netziv on this midah of Bikush. The Netziv used to learn, prepare shir with Rav Yisro Zalman Meltzer. Now, mind you, Rav Yisro Zalman Meltzer, when he went to Volozhin, was 14 years old, and he was there for 7 years before the Netziv was nifter. So he prepared shir between the year 14 to 21. That's when he prepared shir with the Netziv, the Rosh Hashiva. So one day, the next morning, the Netziv he was ready to give his shir, and he decided to abort the shir. He decided to not give the shir that day. Rav Yisro Zalman Meltzer knew that the previous second Seder, they really worked hard on it, and they prepared it very well. He knew the Netziv knew it. So he went over to the Netziv, Rosh Hashiva. Why, b'chvotcha, you know, why did you not give the shir? It says in the Netziv, if you think about it, it's lahafli. It says, every morning at Avarab, I have a specific kavanah. Today, my kavanah wasn't that up to par. It wasn't that great. So I decided not to give the shir. But if you think about it, this is to hundreds of Talmidim. He decided, and he prepared for it. He schwitzed on it. But yet, his understanding of the Bikush Bitfila, if he didn't have his Bikush Bitfila on his Madriga, he wasn't equipped to give the shir that day. Furthermore, they say about the Netziv, Rav Shimon Shkup used to learn under Rav Chaim. He was attracted to his analytical approach. But the Netziv wasn't his derech, so he didn't used to go to the Netziv as much. So one day, the Rav Shimon Shkup was learning a Rashba, and it was a very shver Rashba, and he really couldn't understand it at all, and he was really getting frustrated, and he was getting agitated. And the Netziv noticed, and he went over to him and said, why are you distraught? And Rav Shimon Shkup said, this Rashba, I'm really not hopping it. I spent hours on it. Said the Netziv, this Rashba? You know how many times I cried over this Rashba? 40 times I went to the kever of Rav Chaim Volozhiner and I cried over this Rashba. That, the Netziv, the Rosh Hashiva, who has plenty busy, took time out of his day to go to the kever. He didn't just daven with this, you know, Sefer Tehillim. He went to the kever, the cemetery, a little spooky, of Rav Chaim Volozhiner to ask Pshat in a Rashba. That was the arichus, that was the appreciation the Netziv had for the Bikush of Tefillah. So we have these two formats of the Midah of Bikush. Bikush B'maisa, Bikush B'peh. Now, at first glance, if you were to ask me what the extent of our Bikush should be, should correspond to our natural faculties. If a person is growing up in Bnei Brak, and he's in Cheder, and he's memorizing Tanakh, and he's memorizing Mishnayos, I would expect him to Mivakish in his Tefillah, or Mivakish in his Maisa, he should ask for Shasim Poskim Baal Peh. But for a Balabas who has limited time to learn, maybe he'll ask for a Daf Yomi cycle, two Daf Yomi cycles. For Bnei Torah like us, I don't know, I would ask for maybe a Masechta Baal Peh, maybe I should go through Seder Nashim B'Iyan once. Well, not even to remember, just to go through Seder Nashim once. Well, that's what I would think. Says the Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun, absolutely wrong. That is not the Hashkafas HaTorah. Says the Gemara, Umi Brachosav Shel Adam, Nikar Im Talmud Chacham Hu Im Lav. When a person makes, when benches, the Gemara is talking about, Zimun, when a person benches, you can notice whether or not he's a Talmud Chacham or an Am Haaretz. Why? Because if a person says, Uf Tuvo Chayinu in Zimun, then he's Taka Talmud Chacham. Because Uf Tuvo Chayinu sounds like I'm praising a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he bestows upon us with his goodness. Uf Tuvo. However, if a person says, Umit Tuvo, from his goodness, then it's a little bit of a shtach. It's not so much of a praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're implying that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving it you from his goodness. A little bit. He doesn't give you a lot. He gives you a little bit. So says the Gemara, you're an Am Haaretz if you say, Umitu Vochayim. Frak the Gemara. But what do you mean? We find psukim where the Lashon Mi Birchasecha is used. We do sometimes say from. So Gemara says, no. When it comes to Zimun, and you're praising a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to say Uftuvo. But when it comes to She'ela, when you're asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu for something, you're beseeching him, you're asking him, you shouldn't be so haughty. You should ask for what you need, you should ask for what you minimally need. Ask like a beggar. Like Rashi said, you should ask like an ani, poseach, on the doorway. You ask for what you need. So you shouldn't say uftuvo. You shouldn't ask for it all. You shouldn't go for the gold. Asks the Gemara, if you daven usach Ashkenaz, in Sukkot Zimra, we say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Malcha Meret Mitzrayim, Harchev Picha V'amalehu. Open up your mouth wide, says Hashem, and I will fill it up. Asks the Gemara. That's exactly She'ela. You're asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu for something, and how does the Pasuk say it? Harchev picha. Go for the gold. Don't ask minimally. Says the Gemara. No. When it comes to Zimun and praise, you go for the you praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to She'ela, you ask minimally. But when it comes to She'ela B'divrei Torah, you do go for the gold. The extent of your bikush is not limited to your own personal natural faculties. You should go for the gold. You should go for Shas and Poskim Baal Peh. You should go for Sifra Sifri and all Midrash and Baal Peh. You should go for the Tanya D'Vei Eliyahu. You should go for everything. You shouldn't just ask for Mr. Cheesecake or for the Shavuot Steiger. You should ask for Shas and Poskim Baal Peh. Nothing less. I don't care what your memory is like. I don't care what your background is like. The extent of your bikush is to the extent of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. You should know Shas Bavli, Yerushalmi, Baal Peh. Not a problem. I don't care where I'm from. I don't care how I can remember things. I don't care my brilliance level. It doesn't matter. The extent of the Bikush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us is the scope of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. It's not limited. So I just proved to you that that's true. But I have a kasha. In Hilchos Tefillah, this is a halachic question. In Hilchos Tefillah, person's not allowed to daven for something that's implausible. It's called a tefillah shav. You're saying a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain. It's a tefillah shav. You can't ask for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, please, give me wings so I can fly. I really can't stand driving from Far Rockaway to Queens and schlepping in traffic. I want wings to fly. It's a tefillah shav. You're not allowed to daven to a Kadosh Baruch Hu with tefillah shav. So shkarech, I just proved to you from the Gemara and Brachas that the extent of our bikush should be like Rav Chaim Kanievsky. But it's not true. In Hilchos Tefillah, it's a tefillah shav. I can't ask for something that's implausible. I don't have wings. I can't ask for wings. I can't expect a Kadosh Baruch Hu to give me shas and poskim baal peh, Yerushalmi and Bavli. So what's pshat? How can it be that I'm supposed to ask for something that's implausible? The best questions are the answers. Elamai, it is attainable. It is. It is not a tefillah shav. It is within your reach. You may not believe it right now, but it is within your reach. Lo nifleis himimcha. Four rayas. There are better rayas to this, but I'm going to give you four rayas because they're quicker, and I know the time is short. Zok the marsha. What was the resha of that pasuk that we just said? Harche picha v'amaleu. Anochi Hashem Elokecha malcha meret Mitzrayim. Why the smichos? What's the connection? Zok the marsha. Seven. She'al tachshov shelo ucha lemale kol shel ascha. Don't think for a second, it says Hashem, that I can't fulfill your request. Hare. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Hamalcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I did Kriyas Yamsuf. I did the 10 plagues. Sham Hayachol. Ra'ita Sham Hayacholos Biyodi Lemalikol She'oscha B'Divrei Torah. You saw. I have evidence that I'm able to do Nisim. You think that you're limited by your natural faculties. You're wrong. I showed you by Kriyas Yamsuf. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That gufa is the raya of Harche Picha V'Amaleu. Because I took you out of Mitzrayim with all those nisim, you can be rest assured that when it comes to your Lima Torah, Harche Picha V'Amaleu. Ask for Shas and Poskim. You'll get it. I can do it. I can fulfill. I promise you I can fulfill. Zok from Matisyahu Solomon, the Mashkiach from Lakewood. If you go back to the Gemara Nida, it's a beautiful diak. What does the Gemara Nida say? Harbe asu v'loho ilu lahem. Many people was married by yeshiva and didn't work. So the Gemara answers, you should also mivakish rachamim. The Gemara never rejoins back, well, harbe asu v'loho ilu. It never says that. Only when it came to married by yeshiva did the Gemara have a problem. We don't find people being able to do it. But when you do this formula, when you do the bidus of bikush, b'maisa, and b'peh, it is ho'il lahem. It's a two-step guaranteed formula. The Gemara never has a tie in a one bit that people have done it and have not accomplished. Because you can accomplish. You will accomplish. Says the Brisker Rav, based on a pasuk in Mishlei and based Dalit, the pasuk compares Limud Torah to Kesef. It says, im tevakshenek kesef, v'kematmonim tichapesna. If you should search, you should mivakish Torah like kesef, and you should search like it for like treasure. Says the Brisker Rav, there are two types of people who go on a business, who want to make money. Two types of people, how they make money. One type of person is a businessman. He cheshbins his inventory, his profits, his expenses. He cheshbins how much he can make. Very mathematical. It's called a socher. But then there's another guy. These are the guys who have the metal detectors on the beach. They have the sunscreen under their nose. They look a little bit like nerdy. And they have that like, you know, shade, you know, that hat. And they're going around looking for a treasure. They're looking for a windfall. They stay by the 7-Eleven or the Season Express and they buy lottery tickets all day. They're waiting for that windfall, that $1 million, that $1 billion windfall. They're not making any cheshbonos. They buy their dollar, they keep on trying because you never know. Overnight it can become a billionaire. Says the Brisker Rav, the same thing when it comes to Limud HaTorah. A person has to mevakish Torah kekesef. He has to be a socher. He has to know, I have Shavuos, I have 5 hours, or I have a few Siddurim, I have study week, I have all these things, I have to cheshbon my time. I have 2 hours, I can accomplish this much, I can accomplish this much. Very mathematical. But on the other hand, the person also has to approach his learning as kematmonim, like a treasure. He never knows. At whatever point, it could be a random Tuesday or a random Wednesday night like tonight, where all of a sudden, the next morning, he's all of a sudden equipped to learn Torah and call it Torah Kula. It may take some time, but he never knows when his windfall can cash in. It's like kematmonim. That, says the Brisker Rav, is our approach to learning. It's not just a mathematical cheshbon. We have to just assume and kind of jump ourselves, like Nachshon ben Aminadav, into the Yamsuf and assume that Kadosh Baruch Hu will give us that Kriyas Yamsuf. It is attainable. And lastly, there's a simple but profound mashal that changed my life, and I'm sure many of you heard it before, but this mashal is such a good mashal, and it's so practical that I think everyone will gain from it. And two maisim. There once was a melech, of course. There once was a melech who had a beautiful, gorgeous princess. Gorgeous princess. And he wanted to marry her off. So he said, all eligible bachelors, please come. If you can climb this 100-story building, each story consisting of 100 stairs, within an hour, you get my kala, you get my daughter, and you have all the royalty and all the riches that you want. So all of a sudden, all the eligible bachelors, all the lander guys, all the orachaim guys come, the poor guys, the guys who have the money, my guys who don't have the money, they come, they're like, this is like, they want to cash in. Who doesn't want to be the prince of the king? They all come in, they're in the lobby, they look up at this 100-story stairway, spiraling up, they have an hour to do it. Okay, so they begin. A half hour goes by, and they're on the 8th floor, and they're schwitzing. And slowly but surely, as they go up, 100 bachelors, 80 bachelors, 40 bachelors, 20 bachelors, they're on the 50th floor. There are 10 bachelors left. There's a half hour left. They're not doing so well. I shouldn't say that, I'm sorry. There's 10 minutes left, they're not doing so well. Half hour is pretty good. They're not doing so well. 10 minutes left. And they're going up, and you see people like dripping with sweat, and they're going, they're walking slowly. They're pulling themselves off, and they're looking up, and they're like, this is not going to happen. And they start dwindling and dwindling, and down to Reuven and Shimon, 51st floor, 5 minutes left. They're looking up, 49 flights left. It's not shy, it's impossible. Zok Shimon, I don't care what you say, Reuven. The Melech, he's a Melech. I believe in him, he's a benevolent king. He's a trustworthy king. If he says it's doable, it's doable. I'm not giving up. Reuven says, you're crazy, but I'll keep going. He keeps going, and he just can't do it anymore. And Reuven gives up. Shimon looks up, 3 minutes left. 40 floors left. He's not going to be able to do this. He's schwitzing. But he says, no, the Melech, he says it's doable, then it's doable. He's not going to lie to me. But as he turns the 55th floor, to his utter shock and disbelief, he sees an elevator. He presses the button on the elevator, and boom, he's there. 100th floor, with his kala, with his chuppah. That is what we have when we come to learning. you think it's beyond your reach, but just like all of you understand the mechanism of an elevator, you all understand that within seconds you can get to the 100th floor. Within seconds. Same thing is when it comes to the Talmud Torah. Don't for a second think you're limited by your natural faculties. I don't care how brilliant you are. I don't care how big of a masmid you are. If you apply yourself and you're mevakesh, b'maisa, and b'tfila, you'll get there. Rudinsky pointed out, many people have heard this before, but Rav Rudiman was, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said about Rav Rudiman that he used to learn, when the lights went out in the Beis Medrash, he used to learn by the moonlight. That was his koach habikush. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, we all know, when he was getting very tired at night, he took a bucket of cold water and he put his feet in it to stay up at night. So Rav Rudinsky said a very nice ha'ara. He says, come on, at the end of the day, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz and Rav Rudiman, in these cases, how much more time did they learn? Half hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour and a half they got. How much did they learn more because of this bucket of water or because of this Or Levana? Okay, they got an extra hour, an extra Seder maybe. But if you look at Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, you look at Rav Rudiman, they are leagues apart from any other Talmud Chacham. They're not just an hour and a half greater than another Talmud Chacham. They're leagues apart. They're worlds on their own. Zalt Rav Rudinsky, because it's not about the amount of time. It's about your koach habikush. The amount of bikush, the amount you apply yourself. That bucket of water demonstrated his bikush. That Or Levana demonstrated his bikush. It doesn't matter if it's an extra 45 minutes. You demonstrate your bikush, and Kadosh Baruch Hu will catapult you. Shavuos is coming. Shavuos is coming. And it's known, the Shalach Kadosh, it's on the bottom of your page, says that just like Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin for our Gashmias Dikatrachim, Zok the Shalach Chiddush, that when it comes to Shavuos, Shavuos is the Yom Hadin for our Limud Torah. He says in terms of Bittul Torah, and Rosh Hashanah and Vissel Zalman Melcher say, it's not just for Bittul Torah, it's all of your Aliyah of Torah, your Hasmada, your Hatzlacha and Limud Torah, is all driven by Shavuos. It's all Nidon on Shavuos. So, as Shavuos comes, and we know this Midah of Bikush, Bikush with Maisa, Bikush with Tfila, we should be very careful that when Shavuos comes and we're davening, and parenthetically, halachically, I asked Rosh Soloveitchik today, because you're not supposed to ask for Trachim on Yom Tov or Shabbos. So I asked Rosh Soloveitchik today, you don't have to follow this, because I asked it. But if you want to know Rosh Soloveitchik's opinion, a person shouldn't actually verbalize he wants Shas and Poskim Balpeh, which kind of is like a little bit on Shavuos, because it's Yom Tov. But he was hesitant to say that. He's not sure, he's hesitant. But when a person says V'harevna, he says, or Ha'avarabba, or he says V'sechal Kinu B'sorah Secha, Mekali Shal V'azmanim, he says Man Matan Torah Seinu, he should have this in mind. That this is the Yom Hadin. This is the Yom Hadin of all the Hatzlacha. The amount I'm going to be Matzliach in my Lima Torah is all driven by Shavuos. Just like we're all Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We're Shvitzing. We know. Ni'ilah, come Ni'ilah, last 5 minutes. It's all based on these 5 minutes. So too by Shavuos. Don't let your tiredness from the previous night kill your Shachris. Don't let your Marv go to waste. Every single tefillah should be geared towards this Hatzlacha in Lima Torah. Last two maisim, and then I'll let you go. And you can take the leftover sushi, or no leftover sushi.
But be quickly to the choir.
Okay. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was learning in Grodno, and he wanted to visit his uncle, Rav Yafin, and who was Rosh Shiva of Nevardik. And he went over there, and out of curiosity, I guess Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asked, you heard this? He asked his uncle, Rosh Shiva, who's the best bacher in this Beis Medrash? So Rav Yafin said, He's the biggest amkan, he's the biggest masmid. Oh, he's the biggest amel. He goes through every single boy, every single one with their own uniqueness, their unique koch. So Chaim Shlomo says, okay, new. So which one is the best? He says, it's that guy all the way over there. He says, that guy all the way over there. That guy was the masmid. That guy was the gon. That guy was the amkan. That guy is the best bacher. What's so special about that guy? Says Rav Yafin, that guy is the koch. He has the koch of the bikush. He is the mevakish. He, in my opinion, says Rosh Shiva, is the best bacher. And believe it or not, that bacher was the stipler. Eventually he became the stipler, and because of his midah of bikush, he was able to be masliach. And lastly, for all you chasanim, or prospective chasanim, Rav Eizel Charif, who was a gon adir, once wanted to marry off his daughter. And the best way to marry off your daughter is to ask a kasha to the Beis Medrash and see who can answer it. So he goes over to the yeshiva of Elazhin, and he said, this is the easiest way. I'm not going to go to each bacher and interview them. I'm just going to pose a kasha, and whoever answers this kasha will be my chassan. He'll be my son-in-law. And everyone is hovering over this shaila. Siddarim and Siddarim, and they're schwitzing, and they're trying to figure out this teretz. And eventually, Rav Yisrael Charif sits at a table, and there's a long line of eligible bachelors waiting to give a teretz. This teretz he knocks down, this teretz he knocks off, this teretz he knocks off. Oh, every single person, hundreds of bachrim, no one can get the teretz. Rav Yisrael Charif was so upset. He said, I just wanted one bachur got the teretz, I would have given him my kala, my daughter. So Rav Yisrael Charif was a little bit sad, and he was like, okay, whatever, what can I do? I'll just go, maybe I'll come back next month. And he goes to get in his wagon, and he starts driving off, and he's a little bit down, and then all of a sudden, here's a bachur running after him. A teretz, a teretz, a teretz! So he slows down the horse, looks at the bachur, says, you have a teretz, you have a teretz? He says, no, I don't have a teretz. But what is the teretz? Says Rav Yisrael Charif, you want to know the teretz? You have bikush. You're willing to run after me to know the teretz, even though you don't know the teretz. You're my chassid. You, I choose for my kalam. So, Baruch Hashem, this Shavuos, we should all be matzliach in our limud Torah. We should all employ this midah of bikush. Enjoy the sushi and shkoyach for coming. I miss fastball for that every week.
and you give me the original?
Oh, you got the original?
Yeah. Okay, I have 40.
Yeah. How do we possibly do it? How do we do it?